Anyways, they like, there was this huge crowd and like they pushed the crowd apart and like everyone went to one side and me and my friends went to the other and I was very inebriated. And she got out of the car and I literally just like put my arm around her and was like, say I'm hot, say I'm hot. And she was like, you're hot.
Oh and my God. Hi everyone and welcome back to A Little About A Lot. My name is Kelsey.
And my name is Becky.
And we are the Sorry Girls, and we have another special guest today. It's been so exciting recently on the podcast.
Yes, we recently had Allegra Shaw, and that was awesome. And then today, we have Greg and Mitch from ASAP Science.
Hi!
Let's do a hi, Greg.
Hello.
And hi, Mitch.
Hello.
That's just like to get the voices. I hate when you're listening to a podcast, especially
who's
when
who?
When there's a lot of people.
Mine's gayer. But that's not a bad thing. Why would I ever say that's a bad thing? It's a great thing.
Yeah, it's just distinctive.
Distinctive, yes. Gay AF.
So Greg and Mitch have a channel called ASAP Science. They've been on YouTube a while. They're, I would say, one of the OGs as far as like
7.5 years.
Oh,
How long are we? We're longer.
Yeah, we are not. I feel like we mesh with some of the OGs because they were also like our age. As are you guys.
Well,
like,
and so you many. Got. You, I think your growth, I think, was pretty fast,
we got,
right?
Yeah, kind of lucky in that sense that it kind of blew up at the time that a lot of those OGs.
Wait, how long have you been doing it?
We have been on YouTube in 2020. October 2020 will be our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and we're going to have a very exciting year for sure. Going to have a big party, decade
nice.
Party. But yeah, like we've had steady growth, but we didn't like pop off at any time. Like we still have less subscribers than you, but a healthy 1.8 million or something.
Subscribers don't matter, babes. Yeah,
nowadays, especially subscribers don't matter.
It's
a vanity number.
But you guys do have over 8 million subscribers on YouTube, which is insane. And you do... I'll let you describe what you do because you probably can describe it better than I can.
Sure. You go, Matt.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of evolved over time, but it started as just like ASAP standing for either as soon as possible. So quick videos that are as simple as possible.
Oh.
So we just wanted to like make science fun and interesting for people by asking questions that they might already ask themselves. Like how much sleep do I actually need? Or like how is coffee actually affecting my brain? As opposed to doing questions that are like school questions. So it's just this idea of how can we do these whiteboard videos that quickly analyze something that would be fun for somebody who thinks they don't like science, basically.
Exactly.
And then like, over time, we've like played with the format a bit, but it's generally had the same idea.
Science is kind of behind every question that you have, if you actually think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. It is. That's like what has made our job, especially at the beginning, quite easy. We're like, everything's science. Now there's a lot of channels that do similar things to us, so it's like a little harder to be like inventive.
Yeah.
But science does explain everything.
That is true.
Like most people's lives intersect somewhere with science, and so our job has always been like, how do we catch them there? Like it's always, how do we cast the net so like people who think they hate it in school or thought it was boring now realize, oh, it can be interesting if I just change my perspective on like what counts as science.
It's so true. I thought of you guys recently because, well, not recently, I guess it was last winter. I was on an airplane and they were defrosting the plane.
Mm.
Defrosting, which is so weird to me because they do it before you go up.
Yeah, they like
into
spray
the
it. Wait,
air.
When they spray it with like the weird pink
oh
stuff.
Oh my God, it's every color. It looks like you're in a car wash. And they do like so many different layers of all different kinds of things. And I was like, what is this? Like, this has to be horrible for the environment.
I know, because it's like what? I'm actually not even sure what the chemical actually is. But the fact that it looks like that, I always am like, it's definitely so that they can know that's what this is. And,
that's
like,
true.
We need to
that's
get rid
true.
Of it in a certain way. It can't blend in with water or with snow.
Yeah, that is true. They have to like know, like, we sprayed the blue stuff and the pink stuff and the green stuff.
And we can see it all.
That's what I'm always scared of flying. I'm like well, obviously we shouldn't be flying in the middle of winter. Like it just is like, like we need this crazy chemical to get you off the ground.
It's so true. Oh my gosh.
Well, it's so scary.
So yeah, I guess you don't have a video on what
we do not
car wash stuff.
But we do have we did have one about
like the Airbus
what you should do
or
in
no,
a
what?
Plane
crash. Oh yeah.
What should you do? What are the quick tips?
Like it was or it was about all the most common ways that planes had gone down after, like, when everyone was talking about them. This is, like, so dark. I'm like, why did we make that video?
Know what's tropical, know what's hot.
Yeah, but, okay, sort of a bit of a sidetrack, but I'm like, I think everyone needs to know this. But, essentially, they're going to try and bring back the MAX 8, like, that plane that, like, continued to go down. And as of January 1st, Boeing might start and make people actually go on these planes.
Why?
And I'm telling you, because they're making so many of them, and the whole flight industry relies on these planes that they're expecting to get over the next 10 years. And so they're saying that they, like, fixed the issue.
No.
But I read a bunch of articles that they didn't, so do not get on those planes. To everyone listening, do not get on the MAX 8.
How do you know if you're trip is taking that plane.
So when you're Googling and actually deciding on your trip, it'll tell you the plane that you're going to get on. So we were just like looking into a flight for something, and it's like, we're like, Airbus 230. Okay, cool. Airbus, good one.
Max 8, no good.
Yeah, Boeing Max 8. So be careful. But then they're going to maybe start switching it like day of.
And they'll change the name, not intentionally,
but it's like often flights get plane sometimes gets changed. So it's just kind of like, you could be at the airport and not be booked on that flight, but maybe they have to rearrange. Like,
so as of January, you might hear interesting stories of people refusing to get on flights and like the whole flight industry trying to deal with this issue. I know it is. Oh my God, we do not need to start with truly deaf. Okay.
Wow. Wow, we got into that real hot.
Yeah. Okay, we'll tone it back.
Yeah, I'm like, we don't need to talk about our video about planes crashing.
We can bring it back to something later. Usually at the beginning of our podcast, we just talk about what we did this week, what's new and exciting. What did you do this week, Kelsey?
Well, actually, yesterday we went to a little workshop at Google. Greg was there. Mitch, you can tell us why you weren't there in a second.
The tea.
The physiological background. <Yeah. laughs>
And I went to the dentist this morning.
Oh, nice.
And I got a clean bill of health.
Do you like the dentist?
Yeah, I don't mind the dentist. Wait. Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you a little funny story? So Daniela went to a dentist near us, and then Danielle's like, yeah, this is a good dentist. And Becky's like, sweet, I want to switch my dentist. So she went to this new dentist. And then I was like, yeah, like my dentist is older and like not chill and further away from where I currently live. So I was like, I'm going to go try this dentist. Yeah, we all love it.
Dentist is awesome.
They have two TVs, one in front of you for when you're sitting up, and they have one above. God. Like they
lay, watch TV?
Like yes. Netflix.
Amazing. They have Disney Plus. This dentist is
like, we'll let you guys know. We know you're in our area, so if you need to switch up your dentist.
Wait, so what do you watch? Like, whatever, do you choose? Well,
today, yeah, she was like, what do you want to watch? And in my head, I was like, can we go to, like, season 3, episode 4 of The Crown? But I was like, that might be
getting... No, they told me. I was like, oh, what do people ask for? She's like, well, sometimes they get really specific and say, I'm on this show, this season, this episode, partway through.
That's
and
so
she's like,
smart.
I don't care. That's fine.
Right. Oh, I felt too awkward doing that. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, what? She's like, usually people do, like, Friends, or it was Chef's Table. And then she put on Chef's Table, and they're like cutting off chicken heads, and I was like, I do not want to see this.
She's like, sorry, you're throwing up in your mouth. I'm trying to clean this.
She's like, stop gagging. Please open your mouth.
That's like so cool. I'm surprised more people haven't figured that out.
Right.
Like, it just does not have a.
Not at all.
I'm wondering if it's like overpriced, but I just don't even know what. Standard
regular price.
That's sick.
Honestly, oh God, take some of my money to pay for a Netflix subscription.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth it.
And Disney Plus even. Should have been like, I want to watch Lion King.
I know. I should have said, my friends told me there's Disney Plus. Let's go watch some Lizzie McGuire. That would have been so much better than Chef's Table. What was I thinking?
I'm so curious about the layout of even Disney Plus. I haven't even looked.
Like, yeah,
I don't know. You guys have to dive in.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Did you pay for it?
Yeah.
Well, how else would you
that Disney
it?
Sponsorship? I don't know,
like a free,
we
a free, just free little week or something. I don't know.
They don't really do that, eh?
I don't know. I don't have Disney Plus, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my boyfriend bought it, and then I just.
You've been satisfied so far? Like, you enjoy it?
I'm waiting for the Lizzie McGuire show.
Oh, right.
Okay. Because our recent podcast was about the streaming wars and, like, what we think is going to happen. I think Disney Plus is going to win and buy. I think Netflix is going to suffer, and I think Disney Plus is going to buy Netflix.
Okay, well, who do you think is going to win?
Who do you think is going to win the streaming wars? If there could be one.
I feel like HBO is definitely a competitor for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Netflix, I just haven't been, like, super. I feel like I shouldn't say much because Homegirl wants a show on one of these platforms eventually.
Shake me, anyone.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard because it's getting so split up. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, Netflix did used to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're taking Disney stuff off of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's Crave, which is Canadian only, but that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Crave is good because it has HBO.
Yes.
And it will continue to. HBO Max is their streaming service and is not going to take – like, Crave will still have get it. Everything
yeah. If anyone from Crave is listening, we are also Canadian girls, also developing content, and we'd love to talk.
It's true.
So you do a show for Crave. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because I feel like – oh, my God, you could definitely have a show on Crave.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Wow,
you.
We're manifesting AF
yes.
over here.
Close my eyes. Boom, going to happen.
Yeah, I low-key got Crave just so I could watch Drag Race. But now I'm hooked on other things on Crave.
Oh.
Yeah, what do you watch on Crave?
Isn't there that, what's that show, Dollface? Is that on Crave?
Oh, yeah. What is that about?
I'm not too far into it, but it's got a really interesting cast.
Okay,
which
cool.
Which is great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what were we talking about?
Our weeks. What did you guys do this week?
Oh, Oh my god.
Well, I wasn't at that event because I hurt my back. I have this weird back problem that's reoccurring, and I've been trying to figure it out for years, and I go to like physiotherapists and trainers and stuff, and it's like been happening for probably about a decade where it just like will randomly
That's so stressful.
Yeah, and I think more and more that it's just linked to stress. Like if I'm overstressed, I don't necessarily think I'm that stressed, but I feel like my body just carries it. And then one day it'll just, I won't even be doing anything weird. It never happens when I'm like exercising or anything. It's always when I'm just like sitting on a couch, not moving. And suddenly it just like spasms up.
Wow.
And then it's gotten better since I've been with a trainer. Like it recovers much faster.
Okay.
It used to take, I would be like a week in bed, like unable to walk around for 3 days and then just like laying down. Now a couple days and I start to feel like, okay, I can function normally. Depends how bad it is. So yeah, I'm just like an old man these days.
No, that's scary. Unsolved body problems are so scary. Yeah.
That problem, it's
I've asked a doctor, I've asked physically, there's no real answer because I guess everyone's body's different. Yeah. It's just like
it, and whenever I Google, like, okay, what should you do? It's like you rest for 6 weeks. I was like, oh my god! Like it's like they never have. There's no fix. Yeah. That's like good.
That's why I'm like, okay, I just need to like learn a little better stress management.
But you've been like, also like working out in a, with at a place that helps you, right?
Say again.
You've been working out at a place that's helped your back a lot.
Oh yeah, like since I've started working out, it has improved. I used to have chronic pain, so it used to be like every day I'd be like, how bad is it today?
Yeah.
Now it's like I can go months without it feeling anything, and it just might still spasm every couple of months, but like, it doesn't hurt me every day now, so I'm improving.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, working out solves so many things.
I know, all of it, including happiness.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy now.
Did you say that you went to a physiotherapist for it? As well?
Yeah, physiotherapist, and then now I work with just, like, a trainer, or it's, like, a training gym where there's a bunch of trainers, but, like, they really focus on, like, mobility and movement as opposed to, like, trying to be, like, buff or anything. So I'm working out with, like, a lot of elderly people.
Yeah.
But it's honestly been so helpful, like definitely, like, focusing on core and focusing on the bottom half of my body, because you realize, like, so much of you becomes misaligned, like, even when you walk, like, your gait, like, we're practicing, like, to make sure I'm actually engaging both sides.
Oh, my God, I need that. I feel like I walk like a troll. I do. Whenever I see myself walk, I'm like, what the frick is
wrong?
Well,
even if you think of little things like...
When do you see yourself walk?
Like, in a video or something, like, walking down the street, I'm like, oh, my God, I have flat feet.
Yeah, it's crazy how much of that is related. I had, like, a bad shoulder. It sounds like literally, a you thing. Like, it's chronic like forever.
It could be your calf that's causing, like, the misalignment that leads up
I found out a lot of it is my back. Like, my back is really weak, so therefore my shoulder is taking on extra weight when it shouldn't be. Yeah. And, like, I assumed this was the ish, but it's, like, another part of you that you never would know, right? Mm-hmm. It's also related.
But working out has helped that, right?
Yeah, well, a physiotherapist honestly, like, changed my life. Mm-hmm. I'd gone to chiropractors,
acupuncture.
Like, I tried everything.
And
massages.
Then physio kind of, like, ended up working.
Yeah, because she was the first one to tell me, well, actually, I know it's your shoulder's the one that hurts, but, like, that's not the root issue.
Yeah. And physio really often give you things to do alone. Like, the goal of physiotherapist is usually to stop seeing you, whereas a lot of other practices, it's to come back on a regular basis. Like, they give you exercises that hopefully stop the problem. So,
Know what I did yesterday?
What?
After
us.
Our thing, I had a comedy show, and we gave out the prizes, and the prizes were those two Google Homes that they gave us.
No.
And people were going crazy for the Google Homes.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
they were like, for real? I got the Google Home?
It's also, like, on sale for Black Friday for, like, $30.
Are you serious?
Canadian.
I literally said $150 value. I just made it.
And they're like,
after someone was like, I think you got this free with a Netflix subscription. I was like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They were hyped.
No, I they had to do to win it too. I once stole a pair of Hilton sunglasses out of her car. Long story. But because she was going to a club and I had, and they had to guess which club was Paris Hilton going to in 2009 that at this event I went to her car and took her glasses and stole them.
Wait, can I know this story?
Yeah, do you want to know this
story? Yes, absolutely. How did you know Paris Hilton in 2009?
I didn't.
Okay,
so I was at the MIA concert. Do you know MIA?
Yeah.
In 2009. Yeah. I was wearing a pink shirt that said Made in the 80s. Be cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I left, there was like this crazy crowd in front of this club. The answer to this question of which club was the government. Do you remember that?
Oh, okay. In Toronto.
Yeah.
It's now
that's
dead.
Funny. I was talking about this on a podcast episode a while ago. I forget why.
About government?
Yeah, I think it was because it was like, that was like the first club I had ever gone to. Or
you
something.
Went to it? I'd never even been. It was beside Cool House.
Yes.
The
Cool House with a K.
In Toronto. Yeah. And H-A-U-S.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool House.
House. Yeah.
That's
both
right.
Gone. Anyways, they like, there was this huge crowd and like they pushed the crowd apart and like everyone went to one side and me and my friends went to the other and I was very inebriated and she got out of the car and I literally just like put my arm around her and was like, say I'm hot and she was like, you're hot.
Oh
and
my God.
There's a documentary on CBC about Paris Hilton and I looked up, I found it yesterday and our friend Aaliyah is in it too. And it goes, Paris Hilton has crazy fans. And then it cuts to a clip of me going, I freaking love you guys.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And then my friend, I didn't know, but in the documentary, she goes, you're so legit. You're the most legit person on the whole planet.
Oh, stop.
and we both don't really know, didn't know Paris Hilton. Like, I never even really watched The Simple Life. Like, I want to watch it now, but everyone says it's so good.
Anyways, great.
Everything just died down, and her SUV was just sitting there, and we were so drunk that we just opened the door and got in. And you know that song, like, you had a bad day.
Yes.
That was playing and I was reading the
why
house.
Was it playing? Oh, she had a like driver? She had a driver?
The driver wasn't there. It was just like music was blasting in this car. It was so surreal and weird. And then the House of Wax script was like in the glove compartment and
God.
I was like reading it and then my friend was like, run. And so I thought like obviously we were in trouble and then she's like, I got her glasses. I should have brought them. And I still have her Christian
them?
Dior sunglasses.
Still have
them. Shut.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
I brought them back and forth. Like they would like take turns.
Yeah, we take turns. And they're so funny. I should have brought them. They're like these big bug glasses. And if you Google Paris Hilton Christian Dior sunglasses 2009, you can like see her like leaving LA restaurants with them.
I'm dead. That's the greatest.
Oh
story.
My God, yeah. I can't believe you did that. You are a straight up criminal.
No, yeah, it's
I know, and
that.
You're like admitting it.
Yeah,
yeah. You know what the title of this podcast is going to be? Like, we can't not. I'm
for
sorry.
Some reason, I'm like, it's punching up. It's Paris Hilton. Who cares? But yeah. Also, when we went back, these people were just unscrewing the license plate of the SUV, fully took the license plate off of the car.
What?
I have no idea why they left
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, that's weird.
It was so weird.
And
like, to
they
this
leave
day,
the car unlocked?
I don't understand why I was even able to just like grab her. I'm like, where were her people?
It's
and in
Canada.
The video, she goes like this. Like, she makes a wincing face and takes my arm off of her, and she like moves it. I'll show you after.
I need to watch that documentary
yeah,
immediately.
It's crazy.
I recently followed like an account on Instagram that was all about Paris Hilton, and I was like, I don't know why, but I don't know.
Have you heard of this Netflix show about influencers and
yeah,
why
she's
all influencers
in it.
Are sad? Apparently, that's a thesis.
But
she's in it,
yeah. And she, I didn't know, but
like she's
yeah, she's like
the
first
original
influencer,
right?
Yeah, and like has sleepovers with her fans.
What?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Wait, no, someone told me this last night because
yeah.
We were talking about it. She's like, she like texts with her
yeah,
fans
yeah, yeah.
Like,
she's
every day.
Like,
and I was like, what?
Yeah, she's like more influencer than like the influencers.
Well, didn't she have that show that was like Paris Hilton's new best friend or something?
Yeah,
oh,
I think
yeah,
so.
And it was
right.
Like regular people.
Richie, like,
yeah.
But yeah, she'll like travel somewhere and like hang out with her fans in the area.
Remember the rumor that Paris Hilton's like so smart? Is that true? Did you remember that? Everyone
yeah.
Would be like, she's actually the smartest. Like she's
people
like
say
in
that
tech.
Now,
like she's
like
at MIT
Kardashian as well, right?
Yeah,
they're
I know.
Like they're actually geniuses, and they just play up being these kind of like.
I mean,
bimbo.
Which
maybe.
Is like, honestly,
yeah.
Like
probably.
I. But
it makes them
Paris
more relatable,
Hilton,
I guess.
Yeah.
More interesting.
But over time with Paris Hilton, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I've ever like. I thought by now we would like know for sure. Like broken.
It would come out.
Yeah, like she's a DJ. Red flag. Okay, anyways.
So funny.
Hilarious. Okay, so what? How do I go from there?
So okay. We're going to take a super quick break, and then we'll get into our actual topic after.
Sounds good. Hello, and welcome to The Intermission. And for today's intermission, I just want to remind every viewer, listener out there that we have some merch and shoppables. That's at storygirls.com/shop. There you will find templates for DIYs. We also have patches, and we even have some cute little t-shirts that say Nervous Laughs on them, which is something we like to say in our vlogs a lot if you happen to watch our vlogs. Also, those, I don't know how long those are going to be around for. I don't know how long any of that is going to be around for, so make sure you hop on over to storygirls.com/shop to get your shop on if that's what you feel like doing. And we're back from a break.
Hello.
That was a great break.
Talk good.
Okay, so we briefly touched about, like, how long we've all been on YouTube. But
yeah.
I don't even know that much about, like, when you guys started or how you guys even met. Can you tell us?
How?
You
go ahead. Yeah, so I guess.
Well, we met in university. 2006/7.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, Dave,
long
we're so
time
old.
Ago. We've been together like 13 years or so.
Yeah,
congratulations, that's awesome.
Crazy. And then whenever we're giving like talks about like ASAP Science, we're like, and then we fell in love with science and with each other. It's like that was our line.
I love oh
that.
My god, we do.
Why I was
that's the line.
So that was like how many years before ASAP Science then?
It we've done like, ASAP Science for like 7.5 years. So
okay,
like,
cool. So we like yeah, we met the University of Guelph in first year, really. Literally in science class, which is like a lol.
I wasn't even on the out.
So, I was gonna yeah. say, were you out at the time?
Greg was.
I was out and thriving. That's crazy.
That's how I was like, oh, there's a gay person.
Yeah. It was actually at the time on Facebook you could search interested in men, interested mm-hmm. in like people would
oh,
put their
I feel like I remember
preference.
I do remember
it was
that.
A little yeah. like a dating web like it wasn't a dating website
but for gay people it was really
yeah
important.
I would like look up who else was gay before I was
yeah you could go University of Guelph and you could search literally by interested in men so like every out gay person who was willing to put that on their Facebook would come up
because mm-hmm. there's no other really good dating apps back
at the
then.
Time yeah. no there was yeah. no Grindr
or there was maybe like Plenty of Fish and stuff but
yeah,
it was
but
just, in, at your school
but you
so
could find out at
Guelph
it was actually like really like it
that's
was
awesome.
Very important I guess so you used that because you weren't out because you wouldn't
yeah.
have
yeah, yeah
and Mitch like messaged me and I remember like there was like someone who looked like Mitch and like I'd always walk by and be like that's the guy messaging me. And then I saw
was
you
it?
You were like way cuter and I'm like oh my god that guy's way cuter that's actually Mitch okay I'll respond and then I responded.
Hopefully he's not listening to this. He's like,
no,
oh, that's
he
me.
Doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, so we just like started studying together.
And our first date was literally studying for science.
Yeah.
And aww. Mitch like was like, you're, and it's still an issue in our relationship, which is that I'm too loud in public.
Yeah, he would be talking about like being gay, and he'd be like, shh, like I'm not out, don't tell anyone. Like,
but that's what you say. But now if I talked even at a restaurant,
loud.
You're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, we just like we both had the same degree after school. Like it just kind of morphed into wanting to do science stuff together. Greg was like a teacher, and I had worked in labs, and then that kind of morphed into ASAP Science. Eventually.
But also, you were working like with people who understood YouTube at the time, and I was a teacher hanging out with kids who were like. It was amazing at the time. They're like, we only watch YouTube. And that was a long time ago, even. Mm-hmm. So, like, there were weird circumstances that made us go onto YouTube more confidently.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys were, like, dating during this time.
Yeah.
This was after university is when we started mm-hmm. ASAP Science. But.
So was it someone's specific idea to start the channel or had that conversation come
I think
up?
It was more your idea because you were working
with
YouTubers.
I was, like,
YouTubers.
Working with some people, like, just outside of Toronto. And I had met, like, do you guys know who, like, Gunnarola or Andrew
Yeah,
Vaughn?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know them, right?
Yeah.
So I had kind of met them, and that exposed me to, like, that whole world and a handful of other creators that don't necessarily make stuff anymore. And then started living with people and, like, making content as just, like, an editor. Like, I left my job because I was like, that sounds so cool. And from there, was exposed around it all the time. And then one day, I was like, Greg, we should make something, like, about science.
And we were also really sad because, like, you leave university and no one's forcing you to learn anymore. Like,
yeah.
I was, like, panicking. I was like, I need to be forced to learn science or else I'm going to fall so behind and never know about
that's
it
so,
again.
It is true.
Yeah.
Like, who worries about that after school? Like, I'm never going to have to do class again. But, well, like, that's so cool. I
yeah, well,
that.
I guess I still am, like, obsessed with learning. So, I guess, and as a teacher, you're kind of... I was like, okay, as a teacher, I'll be forced, but you're just going to actually most likely teach the same curriculum over and over. Like, it's not,
that's right.
like, you'll know with necessarily the cutting edge science. So that was a big part about us wanting to do it. And then honestly, I was like talking to students and being like, okay, it's
would
not.
Would you watch this?
Yeah, and I was also like using literal YouTube science videos. Like, there's this other science YouTuber named Veritasium that we hang out
yes.
with all the time now. And I'm like, it's kind of funny because
like
I used to use
his, videos.
His videos in class
oh.
all the time. I didn't really even think about it, like, oh, maybe I'd ever know him, and, like, they were just such good resources.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it was, like, now I'm, like, how long has he been doing it? Because his videos were even similar then, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it was, like, the stars aligned, definitely, in a way. Like, it wasn't very, we weren't, like, we're going to be YouTubers. This
yeah.
is why it was sort of like, okay.
Yeah, these things kind of fell into place and meeting people and just being like, let's just try this. And then gave ourselves that rule that was like, let's give it a year. Let's just commit.
Mm-hmm.
We had the advantage of knowing some people that did it. So we were like, let's like be consistent. Let's kind of like make some branding around it. Whatever.
Yeah, we sat under a tree and thought of names.
Yeah, we like kind of went into it with some
and
ideas.
And you, ASAP Science was yours and mine was Ever Wonder.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Whoa, that's such a One Direction name.
Yeah.
Ever Wonder by One Direction.
Yes.
That's an album title.
And I would have loved at the time, too. Although I remember you, I was convinced with A$AP Science because I was obsessed with A$AP Rocky at the time. And I was like, okay, fine. Maybe he'll tweet us. Never happened.
He's tweeting you to be like, copyright.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, there's no dollar symbol as an S. So, but maybe we'd be more popular if there was.
Kesha.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you guys, I guess maybe you were like, don't want to, you probably said this a lot.
No, but go ahead.
Yeah, like, what was your origin story?
Yeah, we also met in, not university, but college, film school.
First year as well.
First year.
I love that you guys went to film school.
And the same way, I mean, I don't know if you saw a lack of science videos online, but we saw a lack of DIY videos online, and we were looking to make something, and we wanted to share it, so.
But what was the, where did that whole, like, DIY aspect come from if you were at film school?
We were both just, like, crafty also.
Yeah, it was just a passion. Like, I'd always loved, like, designing and decorating and a little bit of fashion.
Yeah.
And then did you guys know that about each other, or how did you find out?
How did that come up?
Because,
like,
I don't know.
Our first video ever was a Halloween tutorial costume.
Oh, really?
It was, like, the first Halloween at college, and we're like, we have to have cool costumes.
Oh, and my we wanted to do, like, best friend costumes. And I guess it probably just came up because we were both like, well, we don't want to buy something because it's way too expensive and not creative enough. So we're like, oh, we'll make them. And then I was like, I know how to sew. I can sew us something. And then, like,
yeah, I think I was just cool. Like, oh, that's sick that, like, you know how to do that. I love doing that. And then it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just happened.
So then, like, the film school aspect of it, though, that's, like, the editing and the...
Yeah, and, like, the filming stuff. So that definitely helped.
Yeah, like, I liked making short films. But it's like, okay, what do you make them about?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So let's make them about making cool stuff, you know?
Oh, my God. Did you have to unlearn everything in film school? Because it's not, like, YouTube, like, yes. All the wrong
things. Yeah, definitely. Like, the jump cuts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sin in film school to have jump cuts. But on YouTube, it's, like, you have to every it's 5 seconds.
The rule.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, peers who have gone on to become filmmakers?
Yeah. We have a lot of friends in the film industry. I mean, I don't think too many are in, like, very traditional film. Like, a lot of people are doing things themselves. Mm-hmm. Or I think we have a lot of, like, post-production friends. Yes.
Who would be, like, editors and stuff?
Yeah, like, editors or, like, lots of animation and stuff. Mm-hmm. Or sound.
For, like, big movies, some,
like, our friend Connor, he does big movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Because there is Hollywood North, right?
That's oh, yeah. Know. It's that's a thing, right. And it's thriving.
I know.
If we didn't end up on YouTube, we definitely would have had some good options and opportunities.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen Parasite?
Parasite?
The movie?
No.
Oh, okay, no, just go watch it.
Wait, is it new?
Yeah,
it's like it's so a Korean good. Film, but it was like a wide release.
This sounds super familiar.
Yeah,
I think I've seen the trailer.
I think people are probably going to, it is the best, like you saw it.
It's really good, yeah. But it's
like Oscar?
Yeah, I think it's
probably for best foreign film.
I think that they could figure out how to make it win, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
they can do anything at the Oscars. Yeah.
No, but I mean, it's like gaining enough, like, trash. It's so good. It's like about... It's a metaphor for capitalism.
Oh.
Whilst being, like, I don't want to give too much away, but it's, like, thrilling. And I feel like if you went to film school, you'd be like, perfect movie.
That was sweet. I got to watch it.
Entertaining, interesting, so good.
Into it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So then you guys did that for during college and then after. Like, when did you make the decision to, like, make this a bigger thing than just you guys?
That was...
I think it started as a hobby, but we always obviously had the hope that it could become something bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And Greg went away to teach in England, and there was just a point where...
Which is fucked.
Are we all just on this podcast?
Oh.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. I think it was just a point where it took off so much that, and we were getting inquiries from, like, all different people. Like,
we worked with Bill Nye in the first year.
It was,
and
like,
our goal was to work with Bill Nye. And then it happened so fast that it was actually so weird.
We were just like, are we done?
Yeah.
Like, I remember getting on the phone with him, like, while I was teaching in the UK and being like, mm-hmm. Is that serious?
Yeah, Greg flew from the UK to come film something
in New York.
Channel.
And that's when, like, my students were like, whoa.
That'd be like, what's his name? Neil from Art Attack?
Yeah.
Reaching out to us in the first year being like, let's collab.
Yes.
Also, want to hear something that gives me anxiety? I'm going to barf all over your couch.
Yeah.
We recorded with Bill Nye 3 episodes, and I messed up the audio on the final two, so we only ever released one.
We ended up filming with him again years later, but there were, and luckily the best episode was recorded, but he sat through, like, filming 3 episodes with us, and we were just like, oh, like, the drive must have glitched.
Oh, I feel
but
it was such a, like, in retrospect, like, I remember at the time, when the Bill Nye one that we released came out, it was, like, the most popular video on YouTube that week. There was some way of knowing that we were like, oh my God. And I remember we had the other one was about, like, sundials, no offense Don't lie, but it was like, what?
That one for sure.
Like, it was like, he loves sundials. And like, we were like, this isn't that interesting.
You're like, yeah, okay.
Not relatable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like, why sundials are the best? And then what was the other one?
I forget.
But they weren't nearly as interesting. Like, the one, it was like, how to, like, act, like, what to do if an asteroid is coming towards Earth.
Well, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I want to know that.
I remember at the time we thought, like, thank God we have a good excuse to not put these other ones out because they'll do so bad. But now I'm like, no, they had Bill Nye in them. It's like, we should release them now.
They don't have audio, Greg.
Like, literally no audio?
It's only audio from the camera versus from an actual mic.
Dude, whatever.
How bad is it?
Like, oh, also, there was, like, a giant fan in the room. At this point, probably, like, we should look back and listen.
Oh my god,
it.
Do we have that audio?
I definitely have it.
LOL.
The actual mics weren't recording, if you know what I mean. So it was just off of like a bad mic from far away. Like you can hear it, but there's also like a.
But wait, like but subtitles are a thing now. Like honestly, we've actually gone.
Oh my god, man.
You gotta do like a voice dub where you like speak over what you guys would have said. Yeah. Iconic.
So it was him on a white backdrop. You were more into him than, like, I never had cable and never watched Bill Nye.
What?
Oh my god.
Isn't that weird?
I know.
Yeah, it was weird.
And I was like, just was like, pretend you love him.
Yeah.
That was like, it was also just like, I know you never had cable, but like, it was on like TVO. Like,
we would watch it like in school.
It wasn't on TVO though, because I loved it. I think a lot of people watch it in school. I did watch it in school sometimes.
Yeah.
But there was like a documentary that is now released on Netflix about him that we're in, but they were like,
wow, you guys are like in every freaking Netflix show ever.
Wait, what? What other one?
Oh, sorry. I thought the Paris one.
Oh, no, that was just me robbing her. Blind.
But that's blind. But you're also in a documentary, right?
Okay, yeah,
but
this one like we were in, but then it was like, I was so bad. They were like, okay, Greg, sit on the stool. So, like, when do you remember first Bill Nye changing your life? And I panicked, and I was like, to be honest, he didn't. I never watched Bill Nye. I didn't have cable. I would watch it at my friend's house sometimes and like turn bright red and then like ended and then you sat down and I'm
like okay Mitch can you
yeah and to this I don't like I think that they show us in the, I haven't watched the documentary because I'm so scared of like what it. But they probably have you sitting down saying.
No, it's just like one little moment that they got a bunch of different like science YouTubers. It's like near the end when they're like, and he's inspired a whole generation of science communicators. And then
except for this guy.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, no,
to
I just
be honest, he didn't.
That actually would have been hilarious. They should have put that in.
No, it was like that. You could tell the documentary makers were like, who the fuck is? We were so young and like out of, like we had no idea what we were doing. And I remember he showed up and he was like, where's hair and makeup? And we were like, what?
Yeah. But he was really nice and easy to work with, but it was that moment where we were like, this is a YouTube video.
Like, and he definitely like looked really red in it. Like it was really hot lights and we were like, oh, like there's, you know, like makeup isn't like, he's not being a diva. He's like, I understand how this world works. Like I need makeup or else I look red. And I just, oh my God. It was so interesting. And YouTube wasn't even a thing. We did it in a weird office. Like their office was in like a building.
This is in LA or?
This was in New York.
New York.
It was YouTube's office, but they didn't have like the studios or anything.
It was like
yet.
One floor they had like one cubicles. Little room
where they just happened to let us like use it out because if you know who Vsauce is, they were bought by YouTube, so they had a studio there.
Yeah.
Got it.
And so now, but now YouTube literally owns New York or Google does. It does, like big chunks of New York. Like it's pretty crazy to think that not that long ago they had this floor in a building and now they own Chelsea Market and the Port Authority building and all this stuff. It's crazy.
We like love it because we're on the right side of that, but it is a little scary. Yeah, they own like so much. Quite the monopoly.
So you're getting so many opportunities. Meeting Bill Nye, doing documentaries. Amazing.
Telling Bill Nye you hate him.
No, I don't hate him.
He didn't change your life.
He didn't change my life.
So then what? Quit jobs?
So at the time, Greg, I was basically like, you have to come home. When your school year is done, you either need to quit your job or just like when the year's done, tell them you're not going.
And I was teaching at a small mining town on the southern tip of the UK where 60% of the kids' parents had never worked. Like it was so challenging and wild and like really interesting. But they were like, honestly, Sammy, fucking hates and would like throw shit at me, light shit on fire.
Stop.
Literally the first day because I did not understand like the behavior in England is a lot different. Like teaching in Canada, like it's a different culture. Like the thing that what they teach you in schools about England is not true when you get there outside of like London. And so the first day I was like, we're going to do Bunsen burners. They burnt like a full lab coat because I gave these kids lighters like it was crazy because like that's what you're supposed to do and then they were like they were at one point they burnt each other all the time they called me so many awful names it was in
Insane. It was insane. They put tacks in the front of their shoes so they would shoot out and be spiky and they'd kick each other while they bled.
So you were glad to come home.
I was.
It was bittersweet because I think you at the end of the year did like kind
of. In the last, them. Like, honestly, in the first 8 months, I cried every day. I fell into a thing of lab coats and bawled my eyes out once after they like just destroyed like my confidence. But then in the last like 3 months, I was actually sad.
And Greg told me like one girl came up to him and was like, I used to hate you because I thought you were gay, but now I realize you're just Canadian.
Oh, you're like, yes, honey. That's true.
That's it.
Yep. And they were so unsupportive. Like, I went to this, like, teacher's college where literally I took a class called Queering Up the Classroom. Like, it's like the TDSB, the Toronto School Board, is so progressive and they have your back. And it was like, the whole point was like, come out. Like, that's how you control the classroom, which is true. And I eventually did come out to my students and it does work because they're like, okay, we can't like.
Like, respect.
Yeah, they respect you more. And so, like, they were all, doing limp wrists at me and, like, making fun of my voice and being, like, all this shit. And so I, like, went to one of the teachers and was like, oh, and they'd be like, that's so gay. And I would be like, you know, you shouldn't say that. And so I went to one of the teachers and was just like, what should I say? Like, when they say that's so gay, like, should we go to the principals? And they were like, maybe you should just, like, leave it. Like, maybe if you shouldn't maybe talk to them about that, because then they'll probably, like, get mad at you or something.
What?
I'm like, wait, what? Like, it was crazy. Like, they'd never, ever heard of this in their lives. It was so bad. Also, oh, my God.
Okay, you're going off.
Okay, I'm
going
to talk.
But the
principal, who I respected so much, later, I come home a year later, find out he had a kid with one of the students who was 18 years old. So the principal, who was, like, telling me how to, like, do the drama, has a kid with one of the students. Truly the worst.
In the UK?
In the UK, yeah. He's he's not in jail. He's not in jail because she was 18, but I always try.
Barely.
Okay, sorry, yeah. So I left that situation.
Then we came home and we both started full time.
Weird.
Yeah.
And we slowly hired people.
Yeah, we had, like, over the time, we were like, you start realizing, like, we need someone to help with social media because that's a full job.
That was our first
one,
too.
Yeah, you're just like, it's so hard to manage all this. And then. Yeah. We slowly started working with some contract writers who worked in science to help us with that stuff, and then brought on some editors, and then now we don't work with anyone.
Yeah, we got rid of.
We've had a big transition now.
Yeah, tell us about that. That's crazy. You went from, like, having a team of, like, what?
There was, like, five plus us, right? At some times.
Yes.
It rotated kind of in and out.
Yeah.
But, the core was probably, like, there were six of us that were there for a long time.
And now it's just you two.
It's back to just us.
And that
two.
Happened, like, over this last
summer.
Over
the summer, The summer we just took a couple months off. We've been doing it for a period, and we were just like, we really want to change what we're doing, sort of, as people. We've grown in different ways and want to switch the style, and we felt so stuck in sort of this conveyor belt of creating content that was still exciting. We still loved it, but every time a video was done, it was time to start the next one. And we could never get time to step out and be like, I want to be a little creative.
Yeah, would I want? Yeah.
Yeah, like, how can I brainstorm about something bigger we want to do that doesn't take a week, but takes 3 months, you know? So it took a while to finally be like, hey, this is the right decision for us. We just want to
But now
out.
There's two of us. It's like, oh, we don't have time to do anything either. Are you kidding?
That is true, actually.
The grass is always greener. There's been some major benefits to having the flexibility of our own schedules to say, like, we can work when we want and then when we don't, and take the time to work out what works best. But obviously now we're doing everything.
Yeah.
So it's like,
YouTube is a mental health challenge. It is just so challenging. I think, like, that's, I think what we're learning. Like, you have to tweak things to try and figure them out. But I think we're struggling a lot with just, like, how the whole system works. It's a lot.
Some people are, and maybe you guys are this way, maybe you're not, like, some people are totally happy just to, like, build a business out of it, right? And want to just, like, get the most views, get the most money, get the most whatever.
We did want that for a long time.
Yeah, I think, and we were doing that, but I think we hit a point where we were just like, if we realize we've lost our creative stimulation as part of it, that was, like, for us, like, we came into it being creative, like, getting to change and challenge ourselves, and, like, we would write scripts and music and all these things, and it just became so much the same.
Yeah.
So I think it hit a point where we were just like, we could, there are other channels that do this really successfully. They just hire 15 people, 30 people to write tons of scripts and produce, like, hundreds of videos.
Yeah.
But we were just like, we don't know if that will fulfill us. Right. Unless, and we don't know that we could give it to someone else to do, because we would always feel, like, precious and be like, oh, you're not doing it the way that I would do it. And it's weird. Yeah. And we were always like, maybe it's because we're a little perfectionist-y or, like, a little bit too controlling to let just, like, a team of people run with it without us.
Yeah.
And so for now, we've just been like, we'd rather focus on making less, but really have the chance to like be creative. But this is a new experiment for us as well. Yeah. Already we're like, we probably do still need some help from outside sources, just maybe not like the full time, all the time for people.
Yeah, because you guys had a pretty like solid format of like for so many years of the content you were doing, right? Which was the whiteboard videos, which were really fun.
Yeah, and now we're even like, we stopped them for a while, but we're still like, how do we incorporate that? How do we bring it back? But how do we make it sustainable for ourselves?
Well, when you learn about YouTube, like we also like remember the time when the subscribers that you have would see your video. So
yeah,
it was like, would be pushed out to them, and we would get very consistent high amounts of views, and it was like, so I never thought that it would change from that, but now we really understand. I know everyone talks about the algorithm, but it's like, people don't, not every one of your subscribers is going to see your videos. You have to figure out like literally what they want to watch. And so I think even now, if we're trying to be creative and switch things up, we're going to have to do a lot of experimenting to figure out like what clicks.
Yeah,
but even our whiteboard videos, like before we got rid of our team, we're still not doing nearly as well. It became a very saturated concept.
Yeah, the market of what we do, of the amount of people that have come in, like big companies too, because for so long, what we were doing was pretty unique in that you needed a science degree as well as like being able to animate and all these kinds of things. But once all the like even BuzzFeeds and Vox and all these companies started like realizing video was really a place to be, it became like everyone started asking these kinds of questions, and they had teams of people. They could bring in experts and scientists. And, so
and there were a lot of like channels that were literally built that were just like ours. And you could tell they just took our most successful videos and would do them again. And then the algorithm would like love them. And then we're like, should we just redo our videos? Like, it's like crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
But so I think I think like any creative industry, it's hard. You have to try and reinvent yourself. So I think that's what we're in the process of doing, but it doesn't come easy. And I think, and I think YouTube is, like, we're going to watch you, because reinventing yourself on YouTube is not something that many people have done.
No, yeah.
So we're like, it's not like
we're a case study, for better or for worse, basically. But yeah. They're like, we'll find out if it's possible or not.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's why we're stressed.
No, I feel that, though. Like, YouTube is, like it's something that you can never really get too comfortable with, because once you start doing the same thing, it's like it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And we've even experienced that maybe in more like minor ways than you guys have, but like our content since when we started is so different now. It used to be like smaller, easier, like bite-sized DIYs, but now you have channels like 5 Minute Crafts, one of the biggest channels on YouTube, is doing these kind of like simple DIYs.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're like, okay, so we have to figure out how we do something different.
Yeah.
So it's like we can't really necessarily compete with this huge...
Absolutely.
I see those all the time. So what are... There's just hands making them?
Yes. It's very much like, you know, Tasty did for food.
Right. Yeah.
It's 5 Minute Crafts does for DIY. But yeah, we've had to change too. And even like YouTube as a, like, as a whole has become much more personality based as far, instead of like instructional when we started. So we could get away with hands making things and people would watch that. But now I think if we tried to do that, it's like maybe it doesn't in the wrong work.
Direction. Yeah, people want to see like the real people and the real struggles of DIYing.
Yeah, the funny, we always tell people this story about how we used to always cut out all of our mistakes from a DIY.
Right.
Like, nothing ever went wrong. This is exactly how it happens. Yeah. But now people want to see us mess up and talk about that kind of thing. And it's like, you have to just, I don't know, be receptive.
I feel
to
like
that.
your content is so like high quality now too. Like it really comes
Thank
off
you.
As that. Is that like are there other channels like that, or is that how you're like setting yourselves apart by being like, our stuff actually looks really good and is like, I don't know that much about the DIY like space or whatever.
I'm honestly discovering new DIY channels all the time. And I mean, even just the other day I found one and I was like, is this an HGTV show that's posted on YouTube, or is it just a YouTube channel? And I think it was just a YouTube channel.
Who
like
was it?
Flippers. I think it was called like Home Flippers or something. I mean, such
a, so I was like, that's obviously something that is like such a TV format that,
well, people are just making their own HGTV shows because it's like kind of not that hard. You just need the proper camera, proper audio, and like some decent editing, and then you got it. A lot of them are just time lapse too of like the renovations
thing happening fast.
I do think though that we are kind of like in a tough spot though, like you're saying, where we have done like such sort of high quality stuff for a while that we don't want to step away from that. But YouTube is also forcing you to put out more content. Like, the more you can, the better you do. And it's really hard to keep that level of quality and still put out, like, 2-3 videos a week is what YouTube's asking you for, right?
Because we were even just looking at a channel very similar to ASAP Science, and just, like, they put out, like, one, like, what-if science-type question a week, I guess. Mm-hmm. So they obviously have this huge team. And the way that they're edited and stuff, it's like there's no one in it.
I think it was more than one a week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, like three.
So we're like, oh my God, like it's like even if we like, like it's just, it was just crazy. Like there's like, yeah. It is true. If you can like figure out a way to put out more stuff and they had figured out that formula, some of them just do so well because that's how the algorithm works. A lot of them don't. But then we're making, we're going to be making a lot less content. And then it's like, oh God, so we have to rely that like the random one that we put out does so well. But like, there's no reason why it would or wouldn't because your subscribers don't really matter in the same way.
It's true. There are so many different types of channels. Like there are channels that put out less, but then every time they do, it does really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Shane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. And Mark Rober, he was like this, he is incredible.
He's like a science, he's an engineer, he worked for NASA. I'm not sure if you've seen his videos. Like,
oh, yeah.
He like made the glitter bomb, that went off. Like,
that's the one I saw.
So he does one a month, and then they get like sometimes 30 to 50 million views.
Got
right?
it.
And that's
every
it.
Single one. And he's really, really cool and smart and like, is just like in that place where he's like, no, I make one a month. He has like all his sponsorships set up like a year ahead. And he just, like, has the confidence to do that, and it works. It's amazing, because they're like, wow. Like, I don't know many people who can release a video once a month and then get 15 million views.
That is
right
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can, then you only need to put out one month, right?
I know. I'm like, that's the dream, I guess. I wonder if he knows that. I guess he does.
You know you're living the dream.
He's really cool, too. I love that.
So how do you guys, like, how did you get, like, I guess the confidence, or, like, where did it start when you're like, okay, we want to change things? Because
as of late,
because you've like you said, taken a huge change in your channel, which is really exciting, and like, it's stuff that we think about, you know, not all the time, but it crosses your mind of like, should we do something different? But it's like you get so caught up on no, this is what we're doing this week today. Like, how do you?
It's so hard to be honest. Like the sad part about it is that it was probably like the unhappiness that versus like the confidence. It was like being unsatisfied, being stressed, being like, I'm not ever getting time to do these creative projects I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's like wearing me down is what
it was. We were thought of it for a long time.
Yeah, I'd say it had been on our mind for a while, but it was that like lingering of like, I have this idea I've been thinking about, but I never have a second to even, and when I do, I'm exhausted and I don't have like, the energy to do it. To finally be like, okay, it's not sustainable for me to feel unhappy. Like, we kept trying to mold the thing we were doing to allow us to fit in these things, and it just wasn't working. So, it might just be the way we were organizing it wasn't working, and we're not, what we're working on now, as we realize there's just two of us, is to be like so much more regimented and scheduled and know exactly where our time is going, and that's something that we just aren't that good at.
But also, we've changed our content, and our audience or the YouTube algorithm isn't responding necessarily to it.
Oh, true. Yeah. It says it also like isn't exactly working, so we're still like, okay, we have to keep experimenting and figure out. It's like this catch-22 where you want to make the stuff that you just care about.
Yeah.
But if that stuff isn't what other people want to watch, like, when do you decide what the amount is of people that you're willing to lose, right?
Yeah.
When do you decide it's a business decision or a creative decision? So it's like, I don't know if we have any proper answers. It felt good to take the risk to be like, we're doing this. But now that we're here, it's also like, okay, like, now we pay the repercussion of, like, are we okay with a smaller audience with this new style, or do we need to try and bounce back halfway? And how do you, because of the algorithm, right? Like Greg was saying, and you guys know, in the old days it was like, say you have 1 million subscribers, almost 1 million people are going to see your thumbnail, and then they're going to decide if they want to watch it. Now if you release a video on YouTube, maybe 10% of that's going to see it, and then if they don't click on it, YouTube's going to go like, actually, we're not showing anyone else.
Yeah
right?
even
within the first couple thousand views, they go, oh, only 5% of people are clicking on this, let's not show very many people.
Yeah.
Or, wow, 30% of people are? I'm just going to show that to everyone in the world now, right?
Exactly. So, click-through rate.
It drives you insane, right? Yeah. So you're like, how do you balance that into actually also creating content that you want to and not go crazy being like, how do I make sure it identifies with the people who are our current
audience? I think, like, one thing, too, that is worth always knowing is, like, what, I don't know, I guess spending the time to think, like, what are the ways that you could evolve and really thinking about them and just, like, putting the time into that. I think that's, like, really important. And even for us, like, just today we were trying to figure out, okay, like, what do we want? What do we actually, like, want? Yeah, there's this podcast called The Happiness Lab. It's, like, the science of happiness. And, like, every episode I'm like, this is the opposite of YouTube.
Like, the environment we're in is not
It's
conducive.
Crazy. It's like... I mean, even you guys have each other. It's so good. It's like, you need, for us right now, just the two of us, it's like, you need to be around people. You need to, like, not have, like, grades or, like, literally, like, I thought of it as views, decide your worth.
It's
like,
true.
It's just, like, everything about it is, like, such a challenge to, like, physiologically being happy that there is a certain point where it's like we have to all be aware that we're like in a really challenging subject.
I have a thought. Now I'm putting on my like YouTuber friend helping thing. Do you guys collab much?
Not often. We've tried to in the past. It was part of the reason we wanted to change our content too, because it was actually really challenging to collab with the whiteboard format. Yeah. And like with someone like Bill Nye, it made sense. It was a perfect fit. He could be in the whiteboard, but we tried with a few others. Yeah, we've thought about like how do we bring that now into the work we're doing. But another aspect of it that's just challenging is like you realize there's just sort of like niche audiences. That doesn't mean they can't cross pollinate, but I do believe that like the science audience we're in like doesn't necessarily engage with a lot of like the famous, like even if we had say who is the most famous YouTuber right now, I'm not sure, but say it's like the Dolan twins or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know that our audience would necessarily respond to that positively or not. It's worth trying. Mm-hmm. Not that we can just like go get any YouTuber.
But I guess you don't have to go like that.
That's true.
You could go just like a little bit outside.
Right.
Not
so far outside. Yeah. We do. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. That's something that we
should be thinking about it. Especially to build this idea that we're in our own videos now in a different way.
Yes.
And get people excited with extra elements.
Because you guys are so lovable, so.
Yes.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. So I feel like if you are out there in other people's videos, it would definitely help. I mean, we still do collabs, and it's just business-wise.
Mm-hmm. It's like makes sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
And it probably is fun. Like, you actually get to hang out.
Yeah,
and, like,
we get to try something new. We get to do shipwreck-themed bedrooms when we normally wouldn't, because that's not our style.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, no, that's true. We need to, like, think about that more, maybe prioritize that more. And just, I just think the entertainment industry is, like, I don't know. I never planned to be in it. Maybe you did more because of film school, but I'm like, it's hard.
I never planned to be in front of the camera.
No way.
Okay. I was in film school to make films, not to be a personality. So, like, that part's, always hard to get used to. Like,
but even then, it's like you would still have to deal with the fact that, like, you're making something creative, but within the realm of business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that balancing that line is always so challenging, and then you're still going to have, like, a box office result or something. But I guess you get to feel less, like it's your thing when you're working for a bigger thing. You're like, oh, well, that director messed up or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did you guys handle, I guess, then being like bosses of a team? Because this is always something that's interesting, like being a creative person, but then also having to do like sort of sometimes the less creative aspects of a business.
I think we were good at it for a while.
Yeah, it was still, though, one of the biggest challenges. I think like we were really nice bosses and really accommodating and had a good environment, but I do think we are fairly disorganized. Like, because we are more creative types, it was, like, a little more hectic. Like, our team might have been like, what's happening sometimes?
Yeah.
And I think it ultimately was not what I wanted to spend my time doing, right? That kind of led to that result as well. It was like, I'm so trapped in helping other people and managing other people. Not to say that's all I could do, but a lot of times it was like, okay, yeah, if we want to make lots of videos, we need people helping to write scripts. So all I'm doing now is supervising other people writing scripts. And I was like, I just don't want to be managing people. I want to be doing the creative.
Yeah,
work.
You need like an assistant or something, or a producer to be like, hey, I need you to write a script this week and make sure that you're on schedule. But they can do all of that like organizational
managing.
Business
versus
the other way around.
Exactly. And we just naturally, the way it happened is we brought on people and then it was like we were managing people.
Yeah, I get that.
So that was a challenge for sure.
It
worked for a while.
Yeah, it worked. That's what I mean. I think it like worked really well, and it like ran its course. And I think we just had like a personal kind of like, it sort of just like fell apart. I don't really know how to describe it.
I do think it's hard because that's like the part of what makes YouTubers special is like no one can do what we do. Like we are so like heads of so many different roles. Mm-hmm. So then when you start getting a team or you start having to like delegate, it's like no one can do it the way you do it, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes really difficult. Like, we always say, like, our faces are in every video. How do we get it so we can do more and be in it less? But I don't know
how. You're like a limiting factor, right?
Yeah. My mom's like, are you ever going to get another Sorry Girl? And I was like, I just don't think we can. I just don't think so.
It'd be really hard. Like, I don't know. Like, and I don't know what the answer to that kind of thing is, too,
it's such
right?
a challenge. And because, like, the way these things are grown, our channels, is out of just,
that's
like,
why.
Literally the two of you coming together and then probably doing it for a while before you hired anybody else.
Yeah.
And then it's so, like, kind of near and dear to you, and you really have to let go of a lot to let somebody else take that over.
Yeah. And you can see a lot of the people who are successful, they have that, like, business-minded, like, it's, like, I think a lot of people who end up in these positions as YouTubers don't have that. They're creative. And then all of a sudden you can see the people who are more business-minded and you see how it works because you're like, oh, yeah, these are little businesses.
They are,
that
yeah.
are being run. And, like, as much as people don't know that maybe they are, like, in the back end, like, they are businesses.
Yeah.
I do think it's why, too, we're seeing so many channels, like you've talked about, like, Vox and Vice and 5 Minute Crafts. Like, they're all business-owned companies. Yeah. They're just hiring a face, and therefore they can churn out so much content
because
the owners aren't, like, personally attached to every single video as much as the way some things of them work,
but then I feel like some of them obviously have struggled a lot, too, because I think about financially. I'm like, how do those companies make money? They have so many employees. Like,
yeah.
They must be getting, like, venture capitalist money. Like, I think that's what Vice has done.
And also sponsors. Like, I know that, like, Refinery29, like, they'll get a sponsor, but it'll be across
like
everything.
Whole,
it'll be like, oh, we'll put you on the website. Yeah. We'll put you in the video. So all of a sudden they can charge so much more money. They literally just, like...
And they have sales teams.
Yeah. Those industries are... They're much more set up. Like, sometimes I hear how much, like, a Canadian TV show will charge for an ad. And then, like, and that show gets, like... less views than all of us in this room. You know?
I know.
And then it's like they're getting like so much money. It's
or whenever we go to the social and there's so many producers and like
they're
so thorough and I'm like,
what? It's
a
talk show in
Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, a talk show in Toronto.
There's like 100 people working on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Like how many people are watching the show? I think it's like a few hundred thousand people, which is not nothing to laugh at. But when there's 100 people working there, you're like, how is there enough money to sustain this?
And like, we can get those views with like, the little six people that make our show happen, right?
You could just film a vlog right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different world, and I think that world is set up to monopolize on, like, the business transaction in a way that it's much harder for us. So it's been a challenge as those major players come into this YouTube industry.
Yeah.
A lot of them still aren't, though, in the same way. Like, I wonder if The Social has a YouTube channel that even gets enough views. Like, they probably are still making their money from their
ads from the traditional
TV.
World. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of money, I guess.
Yes.
And I've noticed on TV, they do not have to disclaim when they're doing an ad.
Oh, true.
They'll be like, oh, they'll just be like drinking, holding. Like, their...
out of a Coke cup.
Out of their Coke, and they won't say anything. Mm. And meanwhile, we're like, hashtag ad, FTC don't come for me, like, so many things.
Before we start this video, I want to let you know that Coke sponsored it.
Yeah.
Link in the description.
Well, we were a part of an ad campaign for YouTube like back in the day, and they really were like, the reason for this is that we need to get the people at brands, like high up brands, to realize that YouTube is legit. And so they're like, it sounds insane, but we're putting you guys on Subways. So
I remember that.
Like the head of Wonder Bread in
taking
Toronto
the subway.
Sees it,
takes
the subway and goes, that's legit. I'm like, that's the reason you're doing this. Like, they're like, obviously, they're like, yeah, we want you to be the face of YouTube and the, like, exposure. But they're like, to be honest, it's that those people don't think YouTube is, like, valid yet.
Yeah.
And they still, YouTube still talks about that all the time. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, how have they not?
Literally, when we were there the other day, they were just like, it's an issue that people don't take YouTubers seriously sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, for a variety of reasons. But it is interesting. Like, advertising, you want, it is simpler to be like, it's on an ad. It comes out at this time on the show. I can go sit down at home and watch my ad play.
Yeah.
Whereas YouTube's like, you just have to trust us. Like, we know it way better and you're going to get better results, but you're not going to be able to see your ad ever because you might
not
be watching.
That's true, actually, Wow, I feel like we should wrap things up a little bit.
can talk forever, I guess.
I know, we can. I guess, well, you kind of told us a little bit, but what do you guys have coming up next?
Well, we just sort of canceled all the things we thought we were going to do.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
No, we're really good at blowing shit up.
No, I think we're just in such an experimental phase that a lot of it's changing on the fly. We're just, I think we're excited. Like, there is a lot to play with, but it's still that fear of the unknown. So,
we're really trying to figure out how we can bring, like, the science communication skills that we have to talk about climate change. And we've been doing that recently, but it hasn't been resonating in the same way with our audience. We realize because a lot of what people want from us is, like, fun, entertaining. And sometimes
really
that's challenging to do with a very serious subject. So right now we're figuring out, okay, we want to keep doing that, but how do we balance that with, like, what people have come to expect from us and, like, make a slower transition rather than...
Slow, for sure.
I remember Barack Obama said that in a famous quote.
Did he?
It was like, he was like, I'm turning... You can't turn a ship 45 degrees or it will tip. Like, when he was as president, he was like, when he was going,
like,
into
even if you know
what
you want to get over there,
he's like, guys,
just
trust me,
slowly.
Like, we're gonna get there. And, like, in my opinion, he did that. Not so much. But I think that that's something
I think that's a lesson
about.
We're learning right now, where it's like, you sometimes have to, we don't always have the most strategic mind because we get excited about things and we're like, let's just go
creatives.
Do that thing, right?
Yeah. And I think I have a bit of, like, personally, I'm, like, sort of, like, I have a radical, like, thought process. Like, mm-hmm. I am kind of, like, cutthroat in my, like, opinions and things like that. So I'm like, okay, we're doing this. And then...
But there's definitely an appetite for... people talking about our environment, people talking about, and even someone like Greta Thunberg, like, becoming such a face of a movement.
Yeah.
That's obviously, so there's the most important thing in our, all of our lives.
So many people are talking about it. So we're definitely, like, encouraged to know that there's so many people out there. And it's just, like, how do we
do that
get
on YouTube?
Our audience excited for it and the YouTube audience in general in a way that works for YouTube? Because, you know, documentaries that work on Netflix probably wouldn't work on YouTube. So it's, like, where do we belong in that field and how do we use our skills to the people who are already listening to us? So.
Yeah.
That's amazing. For sure. Well, where can people find you and check out your journey?
Mm. ASAP Science across the board.
Yeah, right? I think everything is ASAP Science, except for TikTok is ASAP Sci Guys.
Okay, wow, are you doing TikTok?
I would did a hot, like, two weeks on it.
We just
posting, but it's addictive. That's why I had to quit it.
Yeah,
I had to quit it cold turkey, man.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
What?
You're going to love this because I watch TikTok videos. I watch them on YouTube, though. Like, this is... I cannot leave YouTube. The TikTok trend about the chair. Have you seen this one? How girls can pick up the chair and guys can't?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Like, can you explain it?
I don't know. I've only
seen
it.
What are you even talking about?
It's like there's this rule where it's like you bend over in a certain distance from the wall and then there's a chair. And for whatever reason, I'm assuming it's true because there's so many videos on it. Like, girls can do it, but guys always fall.
Okay,
guys,
thanks for our new video idea.
Literally. Yeah. This is how...
Wow.
If you guys don't know, like, some of your really popular ones too are like the dress, like the signs behind the dress, the signs behind Yanny and Laurel.
Okay, I need to see this video. I'm so excited.
Oh my god, go home and make it.
TikTok is so funny.
I would like to know why.
Yes. Oh my
and
god.
Like, now we get the TikTok audience. Like, bam, second wave. Here we go. And also, you guys have a podcast. You're still recording?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So it's called Side Note.
Yeah.
If you girls ever want to come on, and it's just like a fun little, it's more casual version of us talking about science in a way that's a little more approachable for us to just, like, kind of chat.
We, like, talk about studies about controversial subjects, and then we, like, sort of infuse in our, like, personal opinions on something like the streaming wars. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Everyone go check out ASAP Science.
Yeah, Greg and Mitch, they also have personal Instagrams.
We do. We're, like, starting to, like, try and, like, this has been a big conversation where we're like, we should just use one Instagram because people look us up as ASAP Science. We do have our own. Mine's Mitchell Moffitt. Greg's is
Whale Watch PPLZ. Maybe a good example of why that's, like, a horrible name.
Bad branding, but funny. So, yeah, you can check us out there. We do use them occasionally.
Amazing. Fantastic.
Well, thanks so much for listening, guys.
Yeah, make sure you guys are rating and subscribing here and downloading and listening. I don't know.
And you can also watch the video of this.
Hi, video.
Bye.
Our second channel, The Story Life.
Yep, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.